السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. حضرت جی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ ہیڈ ایکسپلینڈ ود ریگارڈز ٹو دوز ٹو بزرگز, دا ون کیم اینڈ ہی نیڈڈ سم فائنینشیل اسسٹنس اینڈ دی ادر ون obliged, gave him that 500 rupees. After this person went away, then he was crying. The wife asked him, you know, I'm ashamed at this. I don't even know about his need, that he had to come to me and ask. So Hazri Rahmatullah Ali is explaining that, see, these two were buzurgs. And friendships in those days, compared to today, you don't get that type of friendships. Raji is giving one example. He said that in Thanabon, the Thanvi Rahmatullahi had given this example, that in Thanabon, there was a very wealthy person, noble person, and he passed away. He had only one son. So the whole now estate, everything went to the son. So, there was a lot of cash, a lot of properties and farms. So now, as soon as this person, he's now in the money, so all of a sudden he got a lot of friends now. Friends all around him, throwing him up. And they are milking him. So, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali gives one example, how they milked him. Say one friend, he comes to him and he's looking very sad and down. So he asks him, he said, well, what's the problem? You're looking very down today. He said, no, nothing, nothing. He said, no, what's the problem? So he said, no, there's a fair taking place in Meerut. But now I don't have enough money to go, and if you go there, then you need money to buy things too. So this person told him, that's not a problem, man. How much you need? They told him, no, I know. What about now? You can't go alone, you know. You need to take your wife also with. So this person now gave him the money for him to go take his wife, go do shopping there, everything. So like that, people were just taking advantage over him. So soon the cash ran out. Then he started selling the properties. He sold the properties. Soon that money also ran out. But the person never worked in his life. He doesn't understand how to look after things. He just wants to have a party. And the worst thing is, the person thinks he's too sharp. That's the biggest problem. One is a person, he's doing reckless things, foolish things, and then he's not prepared to listen also. Somebody tries to advise him, he's not prepared to listen also. So eventually, he started putting one, two of the farms for sale. After the properties too were depleted, now he started putting one, two farms for sale. So one, two of his father's friends, they approached him. Say, bhai, what you doing? Your father worked so hard, left this thing for you, so you got some securities, you got, you know, you are taken care of. Now you are just throwing this whole thing away, you know. So listen to the statement he made. He told them, he said, my father was foolish. He took silver and bought sand. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali explains that in those days, the rupee was made of silver. There were no notes. The notes were not invented as yet. They used to use the coins and it was pure silver. So he's saying, my father took the silver and he bought sand. I'm selling the sand and getting silver. So to cut the long incident short, He sold the farms also. And eventually, he was actually reduced to begging. He became a beggar. Few of his family members from Hyderabad and other places, they used to assist him a little bit financially, and he used to go around begging. And all those friends, they all disappeared. You know, in English they say, when days are dark, friends are few. These kind of things, you see it happening even today. There was one youngster, if he's listening to me, he'll know that I'm talking about him. But you won't know. But he also, parents passed away, he inherited monies. Now young, reckless, now he goes and buys brand new, fast motor car. I don't want to say what car and everything. As now some people may know who I'm talking about. So when I bought that car, then the new shape came out, go buy that one. Splashing money. That time, he had a lot of friends around him. Moving with him, going out. Yeah, he's paying this, that. Soon, things ran out. Everything ran out. Then he's driving old Scoro car. All the friends are gone. Few people, elder than him, who were trying to advise him at that time, he didn't want to listen. Today, he only got those few people. Those same elder people who were advising him, they were elder than him. They were advising him that time, didn't want to listen. Today, those very same people are his well-wishers. All those friends that he was running around with, they all disappeared. The honey is gone. What they must stick around for. So don't ever be foolish like this and think that no, this is my jiggery dost. There's no dosti today. Today there is matlabi. Everybody got a matlab. There's no real dosti. When the person got a need, now all of a sudden he's by you. As soon as that need is fulfilled, he is gone. He doesn't want to know you. You must remember one thing in life. Everyone loves themselves. Everyone loves themselves. If they're showing love for you, it is because of something they can get for themselves. Right? Whether it's an emotional thing, whether it's a financial thing, whatever. But they're doing it for themselves. One person was telling me about one elderly family member of his, right? So he said this elderly family member is in hospital and now the doctors want to do this and they want to do that and they want to do that, you know, make a lot of dua. So he is speaking that I really thought, you know, he got a lot of feeling for this person. He was very close to this person. But after that slowly, it came out that, you know, if this person passes away, I got nowhere to stay. If this person has to pass away, I got nowhere to stay. But let's make dua for this person. So end of the day, everybody is worried about themselves. How is going to impact on me? You know, sometimes in families, you get one person who's not well. Sometimes you get a widow. Her husband passed away. One of the people in the family now, her husband passed away. But she is able-bodied. She's able-bodied and she's hard-working too. So that kind of person, everybody wants to keep them. Rotis will get made, children will get taken care of. You know, Ben is staying with me. But why Ben is staying with me? Because I got a matlab. Now I can go with my wife. I'm going holiday, going drive here, going there. She'll look after the children. They're going to school. She'll make the lunch and go. Hot rotis she's making, everything. Ben loves the kitchen. So she makes the baking, everything she's doing. But the day she can't do all that, now nobody wants to keep Ben anymore. Till Ben, there's nikah taking place in that house, or she's gone there to help. Moka now, hacho the moka, you know, so she's gone there to help. Vadima is taking place here, she's gone to help. Yes, she's gone to help. Yes, she's gone. Everywhere she's gone. Anybody's come, baby is born there, she's gone there for 1 hour. Everywhere she's gone. Everybody will use her. But the day now, she is going to need help. Then very few takers. Then there's very few takers. Because now there's nothing in it for us now. Or you get sometime a sickly person. Right? That person nobody wants to keep. In fact, I've seen this happen. Right? Seen this happening. If that person is living, for example, with one family, one brother decided to look after her or whatever, or him, whatever the case may be. And that person now ends up in hospital. The sickly person ends up in hospital. Now say, for example, this brother who's looking after her, say he is living in Albert Falls, right? There is no hospital and all that here. And she ends up in hospital in Durban. And the rest of the brothers, sisters, all they are living in Durban. Now quickly they'll call up a meeting. So now, you know, we've got to discuss about Bai now, you know. We've got to discuss about Ben now. We've got to discuss about Ma now. We have to discuss about Dada now. We have to discuss. So everybody gets very happy when look at this family, how concerned they are. But what's the discussion? The discussion is, see, if she gets discharged, where is she going? Because you know now, my wife is not well, so she can't come here. My child is doing matric. He's busy studying, so he can't come there. That's what the discussion is about. Today, there's no sincerity left. No sincerity left. So you mustn't be fooled. Oh, that's my friend. Hey, we are bosom buddies. What they say in the gangster language? My homie. My homie. No homie. The day you're in trouble, when you turn around, nobody is there. That's why always only have your gaze on Allah Ta'ala. Only Allah Ta'ala will be there for you all the time. Nobody else is going to be there for you. The rest are just there for the good times. So many wives have left their husbands. Right? Till the husband was well, he was working, he was carrying on, everything. Wife was very happy. She got the credit card, she got motor car, she got a house, everything. The day he got very sick, and now he lost his job, now he can't give the type of luxuries and whatever what he was doing that time. Now the claws come out. The same man who was respected, now he's shouted at. And now he might just take it with a pinch of salt and carry on, because now I'm muhtaj on them now. I'm muhtaj on them. So sometimes it's the other way around. The husband also, till the wife is pretty and she can do and everything. Now she got sick or she had a stroke or something. Return to sender. And say no. Now phone the mother. You know, she needs help now. She needs some extra care and everything. I think she'll be more comfortable in y'all's house, man. She'll be more comfortable. It'll be in her best interest. It's just a diplomatic way, nice way of sending her back home. So these things happen in the dunya. most are just matlab. There are very few people that are really, really sincere kind of people. You get like that also in the dunya. But as we're going towards Qiyamah, there's more of the insincere type. Very few of the sincere type. More of the insincere type. On this point, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali makes a very, very important mudhakara in our deen, you know. Sometime a person has got properties, person has got some assets, you know, solid assets. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's shafqat for the ummah, his love for the ummah, concern for the ummah, that he even advised us on these dunyavi matters. Although dunya is not our objective, but if a person is stable, he will be able to practice on his deen also better. Person is stable, he's got some income, he's not worried all the time, pareshan all the time, right? He will even be able to practice his deen better, right? Got a bit of independence, right? It's a big thing. It's a ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala tests a person the other way. Whole life is a test from Allah Ta'ala. But with regards to property, etc., so Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, مَنْ بَاعَ مِنْكُمْ دَارًا أَوْ إِقَارًا فَإِنَّهُ فَقَمِنٌ أَلَّا يُبَارِكَ لَهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يَجْعَلَهُ فِي مِثْلِهِ. In other words, if a person, he has to sell some property of his, some land of his, what we'll call like a khet, a farm or something. He sells something like that of his, right? Then he must replace it with something the like of it. Otherwise, don't sell it. Because money is something, it's got no real value. Money as it stands, it depreciates. A property, you are getting some income from there. You got a farm, you can do something with it. You can get some income from there. It's a land. Maybe you won't be able to do anything with it. Maybe your children will do something with it. But it's something that's solid, it's there. Money is not something solid. Money gets used up, it gets eaten away, finished, you don't see it. So even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised us this. That you don't sell it unless you are selling it to replace it with something. The like of it or better than it. You're selling one property, right? Maybe you got two small properties and you want to sell them because you're getting a deal on one nice property. Then it's worth it. But to just sell your properties, and this is a big mistake. You know, there was one elderly couple. Both of them are late now, Allah Ta'ala make them maghfirat, grant them jannah. They went into financial difficulty. They had a business and they went into some financial difficulty. So, they were living in a city. Right? When they went into this financial difficulty, they moved to one place very far away, hardly any Muslims there, nothing, but overheads were lower, and you could run a business and take better profit, you know. So they went there and they started off one business. And they were like wealthy people, but now they went into this financial problem. When people used to go to visit them there, they couldn't believe how this couple is living there. Because they were like, you know, and now they're living in like a simple house, they're working so hard, everything, carrying on. So they had one very smart house. Smart house they had. So they locked that house up and they went away. It was a freehold house. They locked it and they went away, they're working. So many people told them, see, sell the house. Sell the house, pay your debts, and you're out of it, man, you know. The elderly lady, she said, never. I never sell my house. If I sell my house, I don't have a roof. So they worked and they paid off their debts. Right? After they paid off their debts, they could come back to their house. The house was still there. Had they sold the house, now where they were going to go and stay? Yes, obviously, if you got extra properties and all that and you're owing people money, then you rather sell your properties and offset your debts, pay your debts. That's more important. Don't live in debt. But I'm just saying, like they held on to the house, they came back to their home, you know. And the old people, they used to invest in property. They'll buy a house, whatever. When they passed away, their children got place to stay. They got home, sometimes they got some income. The one person, I'm going now like four generations up, right? Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with wealth at that time. And he bought properties. Right? He bought properties. And when he passed away, all his children, they inherited properties. Where they could have now received good rental incomes and lived off it. Right? Some of them, they sold their properties. Right? They sold their properties. And others, they kept it. Those who kept those properties, some of them, towards the latter portion of their lives, their husbands couldn't work anymore. Husbands got sick, husband got stroke, husband got this, that. They were living from the income of that property. Living, giving charities to from there, everything. There's barakat in there. Don't think you're going to invest in... Today, a lot of people ask, they say, what's a good investment? What's a good investment? There's no good investment. I'm talking about these investment schemes. They all are schemes. Some are Ponzi schemes, some are other schemes. And some are not schemes, they are schemes to be. Sometimes the people, they start off a little bit sincerely, and when they see the pot now, hey, they say, no man, hey, we can't let this thing go, man. This pot is now, when it was small, they were sincere. Now when they see the lumpo is very big now, then their niyat also changes. So many people, they invest in this, they invest. Next thing they say, they lost. And when they lose, then they start fighting with all the Maulanas. So why the Maulanas are not sorting these people out? Why? When they were making money, they didn't look for the Maulanas. When the investment went down, then they fight with the Maulanas. Now, the Maulanas will sort this thing out. So the best is, if Allah Ta'ala has blessed you, you invest yourself. Buy one small property, buy something, invest yourself. The other thing that deen, you'll find in all the kitabs of fiqh and everything, is so much of chapter on partnership. This partnership is a very good thing. Because you must remember, not everybody got that financial clout, right? Now say you got 3-4 brothers. Right? Now they say, okay, let's buy one property. So they pool their money. They buy one property. Right? Now they're getting income from there. It's alright, let's save up some more now. After a couple of years, it's alright, we can buy a second property now. We can buy a third property. Now they are 3 brothers. After they bought the third property, now they say, alright, you take one. You can work together. You got little bit capital. You put it together. You want to start one business too. Instead of going to the buying things on credit and whatever, pool your things together. Obviously following all the rules, different types of partnership, all the rules, you got to find out from the ulama how it works, right? You know, some of the biggest shops, right, the biggest chain stores and all that, hardly any stock in the shop belonged to them. Right? Big, big shops, you think it's a big, big chain store. How they work? You manufacturing irons. You manufacturing kettles. You manufacturing camping chairs. You manufacturing cricket bats. Right? Now, what I'll do, I'll get this big warehouse here. I'll sell it for you. Now come put it on here. That's why they can put, the promise we make is a promise we keep. Anything we'll exchange. That's all Islamic principles. Right? They adopted it. We'll refund you, gladly refund. Everything they put there. And they run the business like that. And they run it successfully. But they're helping one another. They're all helping one another. So this partnership is a very good thing. But today's time, what they say, the only ship that don't sail is a partnership. It's a partnership. Why? Because there's no sincerity from both sides. So when you want to start something, now you need to start. Now you make all the promises. You say, right? But now when the things start making money, I don't really need him here. But the time when you were starting, that time you needed him. Now you don't need him now. You need to work him out from here. Now why this partnership also go into problem? Is because, you know, in Gujarati they say, penny, penny no hisab. They say, everything must be written down. Everything must be written down. Generally, partnership starts with friends. And in friendship, you'll get one person got a strong personality, one person got a softer personality. Right? Now, if ever you want to talk about something, it becomes a problem. No. Partnerships can work very well. Provided everything is open, everything is written down. At any time you want to sit down and discuss something, you must be able to sit, discuss, where's the problem, what happened here, where this money went. Now today's time, if you try to, you're calling me a rogue. They go away like that. On the defensive. For what? We'll sort out. We'll sort out. The sorting out, when you're going to sort out? After you go in the cover? Sometimes the two, wallahi, the problems like this, they happen in the community. Sometimes the partners, they know, they very good. Right? They got an understanding between them and they carrying on, they're happy, they can. But nobody knows how this partnership is working. There's nothing written down. Between the two of them, they got an agreement, they carrying on, but there's nothing written down. Who owns what, nothing. Right? Now, one must pass away. Now that one's children, they say, but our father was a partner, yeah? That fellow says, no, your father wasn't a partner, he was just working here. Now you see the tamasha. So sometime, I know one friend, right, who is going through a divorce matter, right? So today, divorce is not straightforward. Because you see the khawf of Allah Ta'ala is gone, right? So now you divorce the person, they want to take you to the cleaners now. And take you to the cleaners, right? And the lawyers also, sometimes Muslim lawyers, instead of advising the person correctly that this is Shariat, no, they telling them about South African law, or whichever law, American law, Kuffar law. Right? They're misleading them, misguiding them. They'll end up eating haram, right? So now, if you know you're going to give a divorce, and now you know you got property portfolio, you got this, you got that. So before that now, you need to start getting all these things off your name. Because now, otherwise she's going to take you to the cleaners here now. So you need to get these things off your name. So now I come to you, you my good friend. I say, but you know what, now this property I got, I'm buying the property, I'm put on your name, right? But it's my property. Now we got an understanding. But now that person passes away. His children say, no, this is my father's. There's a title deed here, it's on my father's name. You see? So our mamulat has to be very, very saf. Everything must be clean. Have witnesses. Sometimes you do certain things for tax purposes or business purposes or for convenience, whatever. But have a document. Have both people's signatures there. Have witnesses there. So people know about what's going on. After that, a chore is a chore. Chore is a chore. Some people, they got a house, the title deed on their name. And they got the title deed. And they're still stealing the thing. A chore is chore. That you just leave it to Allah Pak. But a precaution we must take. So our children also know what is the agreement here. What is the situation between my father and his friend or my father and the brothers. So many places, the nephews are not talking to their uncles. I dealt with cases where the father passed away so many years ago. At that time there was one piece of land there. It had no value. Nobody worried about it. But it was on the one brother's name or something. Years later, now the property all of a sudden, the taxi rank came away next to it and that thing now got a lot of value on it now. Now, everybody's eyes are on it. Now when those fellows say, but in our father also had a share. No, this paper is my name. Your father passed away 30 years ago. What are you talking about? But it was warso. So all this must be very, very saf. And you see friendships. Today it can be friendship. Tomorrow can be enmity. A friendship, something can happen. So the time when the friendship, everybody got to understand. But tomorrow when there's enmity, now how do you solve the problem? But if everything is in black and white, everybody knows everything. This is such a big topic, this thing. It requires a lot of time. You know, the other thing people do today, they form trusts. Family trust, this trust, that trust. Why they form the thing? Because they want to, you don't blame them, I mean, they don't want to get taxed to death. So they form these trusts and everything. But the people who are on the trust, the beneficiaries, they not, in actual fact, they not the benefit. They're just there for paper, just for paper's sake. But now who knows that? Tomorrow this person passes away. Now that all supposed to go in his estate. But now those people say, no, this is ours. Now how much haram people are going to eat? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والعافين